I appreciate that. So basically, we're going to go through a whole lot of scripture here. Some of it you just heard. Some of it I'm going to read again. And I thought that that says it best. But scripture has plenty to say about those who are in need. The poor, the oppressed, the marginalized, those discriminated against. In fact, there are more than 560 verses that describe the responsibility of God's people to the poor and the oppressed. What I would like to do this morning is read some of this scripture, some of the ones that stood out to me, and briefly comment on some of them. I just ask you to listen to them. Let God's word soak into your heart this morning. God has a special place in his heart for the poor, and he'd like us, his people, to have a heart for the poor also. So we're going to start out here. We'll start Proverbs 19, verse 17. And you'll be seeing them up on the screen as we go, okay? But Proverbs 19, 17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. So remember, as you do this, you're lending to the Lord. We'll go on to Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, but Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or in need of clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply to them, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. We'll go on to Proverbs 14, verse 21. He who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. And the same Proverbs 14, verse 31. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Do you desire to honor God? Because honestly, that's what we're doing. Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. It's Jesus speaking here, says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So take note here, Jesus says, so when you give. Doesn't say if, but he says when you give. So Proverbs 22, verse 9. A generous man will be blessed, will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Proverbs, 28, verse 27 states here, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. So it says here, you will lack nothing if you give to the poor. And really, I just want to highlight here, I mean, if we think about this, this is opposite of what today's culture tells us, right? We got to watch out for ourselves and look out for yourselves and grow your bank account, and everything's about me, me, me. But here it says, you will lack nothing if you give. So give and you get. Go on to Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Here Paul says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In the Gospel of Luke, We have Jesus speaking here, and this is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Also in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 22. And Jesus, at this point here, this was when the disciples of John the Baptist had come to ask Jesus. And John was in, you know, languishing in prison and was obviously, you know, he was suffering from some doubt here. And so they came to Jesus. And so it says here, so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. The reason I included this here is because Jesus here speaks of the importance of sharing the gospel with the poor. And that's something that both Compassion International does, and we hadn't mentioned it yet this morning, but we also have opportunities for you to sponsor children through a CDI program, and it's a Great Commission Churches of Latin America. And this is where we have gone on mission trips. Eva goes down there all the time and takes people. So we can sponsor children from there too. But both these great organizations, they share the gospel with everyone that they serve. And it's an important thing, and Jesus says that was him as the Messiah. Bringing in that. So again in Luke, in chapter 12, verses 33 through 34, Jesus said here, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So God says, you can't, and it's right after this, he said, you can't serve two masters. You have to choose whether you will serve him or listen to the world and serve yourself and worry about your own money and bank accounts and so on. But you have to choose. So we'll go on into 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Here he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life, of the life that is truly life. So if we'll notice here, he's saying that through our giving, he provides us, that with what we have, it's provided by God and it's provided for our enjoyment. So it is also saying that it's not wrong to have possessions at the same time, that God does bless his people and he wants us to enjoy them. So enjoy what you have. Share it with others. Be generous, but enjoy what you have because it is a gift from God. And sometimes we overlook that. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. John says here, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So we need to take action. Following in the along these same lines, we have some of the verse that Jerry shared with us just before here. But in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, the famous words where he's speaking of our faith and having to do actions. But what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has not deeds, can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We'll go back to Proverbs here. Proverbs 21, verse 13. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. We all want to be answered, right? We talk to God, we pray to God, we'd like to be answered. But God is saying here, we must respond to the cry of the poor around us. I mean, how often do we say, "Boy, I'm just not sure if God's hearing me," or whatever? Have we really taken account to think about, are we doing something for those in need around us? Because sometimes that could be a hindrance to us getting through to God. So, again in Proverbs, Proverbs 11, verse 25, a generous man will prosper, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I think this is a really neat verse, but we all like to be refreshed and prosper, right? So we must ask ourselves, are we refreshing others? There's a connection there, and we got to keep that in mind. Now what I'd like to do, I'm going to read through a couple of brief portions of Scripture. These are examples of people who have poured themselves out for the poor, and we'll see God's response, okay? Let's see, so we start with in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 42. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, and just preceding this, we had learned that Jesus was there in Lydda. Or not Jesus, I'm sorry, Peter. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." So Peter went to them, and when he arrived, he was taken to the upstairs room. All the widows stood around crying, and they showed him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many, many people believed in the Lord. So I just thought that was neat. She was known for doing good and helping the poor. And she had Peter come, and he was able to raise her through the Holy Spirit. So again in Acts, and this is a part of Acts that I really loved, and I just noticed here that it comes directly after this had taken place. But in Acts 10, verses 1 through 5. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all of his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered him, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter." So what we see here is that we had this, he was described as a devout, God-fearing God who gave generously to those in need. And the Lord said, and then this was brought up, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. That's encouragement to us that as we give to the poor, God sees what we do. Peter, at that point, they brought Peter to him. He came, shared the gospel with them, he and his family. Scripture records that God poured out the Holy Spirit on all of them who heard the message that day. And that was an amazing thing. That was the first recorded time where this happened to the Gentiles. Before, it was always the Jews. Okay. Now, as far as Scripture, we're going to end with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. And here we have Paul saying, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." So, as I conclude here, the reading of the scriptures here, what I need to point out is a vast majority of these scriptures talk about the blessings God has in store for those who are generous to the poor. And this really stuck out to me after I put this together, and it wasn't a thing I was thinking about before that, but the vast majority, almost every one of these verses, if you look at it, God promises to take care of our needs if we'll only worry about those who are in need. And it's a pretty amazing thing. And he says it again and again, that he will bless all those who are kind and lend to the poor. And he does point out, a couple of these also point out, especially if we look after the fellow Christians that are in need. And this is God's word. Okay. So we're going to look up, I'm going to finish with that. So on the screen here now, we're going to have a link here that you can go to sponsor a child through the Great Commission Church. Churches of Latin America. It's their CDI program. So the children you'll be able to see here, and you can go home and do this too. And by the way, the link is in your bulletins. So if you'd like to go home and look at that, you can do that. But the children you see here are part of the child centers where PCC goes on these mission trips to El Salvador. So the awesome thing about this is if you sponsor one of these children, you could go on a mission trip with Eva and the gang, as I'll call them, and actually be able to visit your child. So it's a pretty cool opportunity. So after the service, we'll be out at the table. As Jerry said, Jerry will be there, and I'll help him. We'll have packets through Compassion where you can sponsor children. So please stop out, see us, and bless a child in need. If you'll indulge me for one moment, I have a little bit more. I wanted to share just a little bit about how the organization Compassion International got started, because it was pretty striking to me. So it was 1952. The Korean War was raging, and Everett Swanson, who was an American evangelist, was on a preaching tour of Japan and Korea. Everett shared the gospel with thousands of troops, and by the end of the tour, the young evangelist had led many to Christ. Certainly, he could have gone home satisfied that his mission for God's kingdom had been accomplished. But one thing hounded Everett Swanson, troubled him all the way back to the United States. While in the city of Seoul, Korea, he had noticed scores of children who were living on the streets, orphaned by the war. They huddled together to keep warm and begged for coins. The plight of these little children touched Everett's heart. But one morning, before departing for home, he had an experience that did more than just touch his heart. It changed his life. On an early walk in the city, Everett glanced up when a flatbed truck stopped a few blocks ahead of him. Sanitation workers emerged from the cab to gather up trash from doorways and alleys and gutters along the street. They threw what appeared to be piles of rags onto the truck bed. As he came closer, Everett noticed that the workers were kicking the rag piles before picking them up. That made sense to him since rats were common. One rag pile lay in a doorway not far from Everett. He reached it about the same time as one of the workers. That's when he noticed that the pile was not just a tangle of rags, but that a small arm extended out from the pile. Everett began to make out the shape of a child sleeping beneath it. Opening his mouth to warn the worker not to kick the pile, the words stuck in his throat as he caught sight of the cargo on the flatbed truck. The horror of what he was witnessing suddenly dawned on him. The workers were not gathering trash. They were gathering the bodies of the children who had died overnight. So basically those who had not survived, or those who had survived another night of the Korean winter, were awakened by a kick. So this is where compassion got started. And he came home and decided he wanted to do something about it, and he did. And it's quite an organization today. So with that, thank you. And I pray that you all have a blessed week. And if you care to share with us, we're out at the table. Come see us. If adopting sponsoring a child is not for you, I would just encourage you to consider what it is that God would have you to do to help somebody in need. And thank you for being here today. God bless.